This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and as usual, Kim is my co-host today. Today, we're going to be talking about Walker's hierarchy of marketing needs.
I'm glad you specified that.
But before we get too far into it, I want to thank our sponsors, RepairPal, for providing this episode. RepairPal is the key that unlocks new business for your auto repair shop. Learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. All right.
Walker's hierarchy of marketing needs.
Yeah. So
sometimes you come up with stuff that I'm just like,
I did not come up with this.
I understand. But I don't know that you know. It's always a blasphemous to me and to my like realm of people.
So for those of y'all who are listening, you probably don't know that Kim is a counselor. She's not an LPC, but she was a school counselor for many years. She has her graduate degree in counseling.
But even teachers learn this stuff.
Well, I mean, I've heard you talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs many times.
So when Brian pitched this idea,
I wish you could see her face right now. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can't see her face because her hand is covering it.
The thing is, it's like a critical piece of who we are as humans. Mm-hmm. And so when Brian tells you how this came about, I'm just going to say, I was like kind of grossed out. Like, you can't just change stuff that's been around. So this is 1943. This has been around longer than 1943.
It has not.
Well, I said hundreds and hundreds of years and something.
It has not been around hundreds and hundreds of years because Maslow was not around hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
But it's got that kind of impact.
It does.
Anyway, Brian Walker, thanks to the help of his friend Matt Fanslow, he's going to explain how this came about. But y'all just know that when it first was presented to me, I was like, I don't know about this.
Y'all probably listened to Matt Fanslow's podcast, Diagnosing the Aftermarket. He's part of the Aftermarket Radio Network as well and has an amazing podcast over there. Matt just thinks differently.
He's scary smart.
He is. So this started out as an article. We're doing the podcast about it now, but I've already written the article about this. And in the article, I talk about how, like, Matt Fanslow, he's not just smart, he is freaking smart.
Yeah.
And
Matt, you really intimidate me. Big time level.
I am a simpleton. I'm
even more of a simpleton.
I'm really smart when it comes to, like, mechanical things and, you know, process of elimination, diagnostics. I'm really smart when it comes to that. This is Get on with it. I mean, Maslow was a psychologist, but, you know, this is more almost like a philosophy.
It is.
And I'm not a philosopher.
It's one of the first theories that you learn in, like, human psychology, how we exist, you need to just go on because I'm still kind of blown away that we did this.
But you've read it. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, what do you think of it?
You mean reading what you wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I get it. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
But it takes someone like Matt Fanslow to put that connection together.
True.
To say.
And so we have permission, by the way. Matt planted the seed and was like, hey, you really got to do this.
Yeah.
And so Brian did it.
Yeah. He just kind of dropped the idea and said, you really should do some kind of a piece on how marketing is related to, or, you know, how marketing and Maslow's hierarchy of needs kind of interrelate.
But I feel like this was a long time ago.
It was. I mean, he told me about that over a year ago. You know, he dropped that idea over a year ago, and I kind of had it on my list of things to do. I procrastinated like crazy on it because it's so far out of the realm of, like, what I know, and it took a lot of, I don't want to misuse the word research because it gets so misused now. But, you know, I did have to do a decent amount of research on this. I had to go really learn Maslow's hierarchy of needs and then relate that to marketing. But what I found as I did it was, like, there's nearly a direct correlation when we start talking about the levels of the pyramid.
I mean, it's the psychology of marketing.
Yeah, in a way.
I mean, when you record something about something that you already innately know, you're very good at it, it's not really a big deal. In this case, you didn't. You had to really.
Yeah, I had to do it. Like, I had to go learn this stuff. Like, you can't take Maslow's hierarchy of needs and base something else off of it and it not be good. Like,
yeah.
You can't do that halfway. You have to go all in.
So you understand my panic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I trust you with this.
Yeah. Well,
so you did a good job. I get it. What was your biggest, when you were doing the research, what's your big aha, your big takeaway, your big moment in research?
Well, I'll say that the biggest thing that I took away from it was when I went into this, I thought it was going to be a novelty piece. I thought it was just something that, you know, it's like, yeah, look, it's really, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is related to marketing. But as I got in here and started writing, I realized just how useful it is as something to be able to look at where you're at in your shop and where you should be. In your marketing. I'm going to just read a little piece right from the article. It says, the pyramid is also a great visual because it shows that there's an order to things. You have to build a pyramid from the bottom up, and the foundation of the pyramid is the most important part. It's often shown that people live lives that are out of order with the pyramid. Those who focus on accumulating things but never get to the self-actualization part of life are living a life out of balance where they'll never achieve true happiness. Those who focus on self-actualization without making sure their basic needs are met are living a dangerous life, an upside-down pyramid, where they could be toppled over at any moment. This is why Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a perfect comparison to marketing a small business like an auto repair shop. There's an order to things. You want to build on a solid foundation. You shouldn't just focus on the marketing tactics you're most interested in, but rather what is the most important to the business's survival first, then long-term growth, and then thriving as an empire.
Empire.
And that is where the value of this comes in. It is so much more than a novelty piece. Everyone who is listening to this, honestly, they should go read this article. Not because I wrote it. They should read it because Maslow, you know, wrote the original. And then look at the comparisons and understand where you're at in your shop at this moment and where your marketing should be in relation to that.
Yeah. You know, this is part of the conversation that JR has with people all the time. They come in and they think they want to do this, but we often will direct them, well, you really need to do this first.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's one of the areas where we may be different, is that we're really advising people on what really is the basic foundational thing that you need to get done first. Like, let's not jump over here and do this thing. It's not going to work for you. Example, case in point, you might not be ready for marketing. You wrote an article recent, a blog recently about when you're not ready for marketing. If your service advisor is not good on the phone, then we don't want you to pay us to do ads for you where we're driving traffic to the phone.
Right.
And that's, you know, so there's definitely an order to things that makes perfect sense. So I think we should look at the actual triangle and start from the bottom. Talk about each level, compare, and so the first one.
Well, first, let's explain the idea of this triangle or this pyramid, and we use those interchangeably. Sometimes I talk about Maslow's triangle, sometimes I talk about Maslow's pyramid, and you'll see it referenced both ways. But anyway, you imagine a triangle with one of the flat sides being, you know, flat on the ground, or flat, you know, horizontally.
The base.
Yes, the base of the triangle. And you have five layers that are stacked on top of each other, you know, with the fifth layer being the point at the top. Each one of those is a layer that's important to human. It is what makes people want to live. It is what...
You can't have one without having the other one.
Yeah.
It's like a prerequisite for a college class.
Yeah.
You can't take 201 unless you've taken 101.
Yeah. So if we look at level one, like the base layer of the pyramid, this is a human... If we look at Maslow's pyramid, this is basic human needs. Food, water, clothing, oxygen, shelter. It is the absolute basic of needs. And if we compare that to an auto repair shop's marketing needs, well, let's be real. There are no marketing needs that are equivalent to the foundational needs of a human, because there are shops out there that they don't do marketing at all.
Right. It's just word of mouth. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, they do it fine. They build an okay business. Now, they're not going to build that thriving business, that empire that we're talking about, if they're not doing any marketing. They're going to build, you know, a comfortable lifestyle business, you know, if they're not doing that. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, that's not who you are. You know, you're not the shop owner who just wants to, you know, build a comfortable living, a lifestyle business and nothing more.
You know, I was just talking to somebody in our own community this week, a couple of days ago, was at their office, and she knows us as our original marketing agency, the one that worked on local businesses here in our community. She really did not know what Shop Marketing Pros is. She has no reason to. But when I was talking to her, she was like, wait, how many employees do you have? How many states are you in? Like, she was asking all these questions. She said, how many shop clients do you have right here in our community? And I said,
none.
And I said, in fact, we only have three in the entire state of Louisiana. We have fewer clients in like the true South than we do any other area in the country.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and I was telling her that the shops here aren't doing all, they're not doing all this marketing.
It's a different mentality.
It's a very different, they're okay with just that word of mouth. They don't even have the base, but they're also, like you were saying, I can't think of any of them that have multiple locations or have been in business for multi-generations. So yeah, it's just very interesting. So that first level, definitely comparing it then to Maslow's, what would you say are the basic needs that a business has to have in place for
The foundation. So, I mean, at your very basics, you're going to have your Google business profile, your website, and your social media pages. And I mean, almost every shop has that, you know, so when you look at the Google business profile, this is the very first thing that you should do when you start up any business is to go create a Google business profile, because it is the thing where Google has collected all of its information about your business. And, you know, so it knows who you are, what you do, where you're located, what your phone number is, in some cases, pricing, reviews, it's got pictures. Because we've talked about this on the podcast before, Google loves Google. Mm-hmm. They don't want people to click off of Google and into your website, because once they do that, they can no longer advertise to them. So they try to give you all of the information that they can right there in Google. And you'll see, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, like information that is from within the depth of a page will display in the Google search results so that you don't have to go to that page to find the information.
I am that person. I'll go straight to the questions underneath and just read right there, the quick snippet. So,
So, you know, the Google business profile, like, it's the first thing that you should set up. But even when you become that business that's at level five of the pyramid, a ton of your business is going to come from that Google business profile still.
And Brian said set it up, but it's probably already there. You just need to claim it.
Depends. If you're a brand new business, it's not going to be there yet. But if you're a business that's been around for, you know, any amount of time, 6 months or more, you're already going to have a Google business profile. And like Kim said, you just need to go claim it. But then you have your website, and your website is going to be the next most important thing, you know, besides the Google business profile. And if you think about it, it's where all of your other marketing points to. It's like the hub of your marketing. So, you know, if you're doing direct mail, you're going to have links back to your website. If you put up a billboard, you're going to have links back to your website. If you do a radio ad, you're going to say, you know, in the advertisement what the URL is. Like, all of your other marketing, for the most part, points back to your website.
This is why I like that we say it's in the foundation. It's in the first level. Unlike the next thing, which is social media, is that you own your website.
Mm-hmm.
The other things, you just talked about billboard. You don't own that. You're renting that space. Facebook, you just never know what's going to happen. That gets shut down. Any of these other things. But the website is yours. So I love that we put it right there. You put it right there in the foundation. Even Google Business Profile, you don't own that. So.
Yeah. And in the world that we live in, you know, with the whole idea of cancel culture, we did an episode on this topic about owning, you know, some of the marketing properties that you have.
Your email list.
And it's not that you're going to own every one of them. And you're not going to not use social media because you don't own it. Of course, you're going to use that. But
right.
I was listening to a podcast this morning, an Ed Milet podcast, and the episode was about building your brand, your personal brand. One of the things that they were talking about was how his podcast, he started it 8 years ago, but only 2 years ago did he start building his lists, building an email list, building a texting, you know, a list of phone numbers so they could text message. You know, the importance of having that in case you get canceled, you get shut down.
Right.
You know, the Jocko podcast is another one that they created an entirely separate podcast that you can listen to it on all of the podcast players, mm-hmm. but they also have like all of the infrastructure is theirs because they know that they could get canceled at any time mm-hmm. and they want to have a property that is their own
right.
that they can get information out on. Anyway, that's another one of the reasons why the website is so important. And that doesn't mean that you need to go to a company like us and buy a website. You can DIY your website to get started. I built my first website in Microsoft Word for our first shop behind the star, which yes, that was the name. And yes, we do talk about that on an episode, mm-hmm. but
we're not talking about that today.
Anyway, like you can build your own website and to get started, there's nothing wrong with using Wix or better yet Squarespace. I believe personally, that's the best of the DIY website builders would be Squarespace. So
that is actually a podcast we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We can
DIY
do that.
DIY websites. Anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, you start off there. And then later, as you build your business and as you become more profitable, then you invest in a professional website. And I do believe that ultimately you should do that because that professional website is going to be so much better than the DIY website. But do what you have to in the beginning to get started.
So we've laid the foundation, literally.
Well, we got to talk about the social media pages.
Yeah, we didn't talk about social media.
Yeah, so
interesting.
You know, the social.
Did I skip that?
Social is the other place where, you know, the foundational thing where you go out and you create those pages, you know, you get them going and you start posting to them regularly. That's where you're going to do the whole know, like, trust thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to put things there that are going to allow people to see a little glimpse of your life and make a determination of do they know you, do they like you, do they trust you.
And I would say when you're looking at the Google Business Profile website and social media, arguably, if we were going to put those in order, Google Business Profile is the very first thing.
Oh, yeah, they're in order.
Social, yep. I would say some people don't have the time, the budget, they're not ready for a website. I would say, I think you can do social media first.
They're in order of importance. I believe that the website is much more important than the social media pages. However, you're right about that it's going to be a whole lot easier to get the social media pages going much more quickly than the website.
Well, it doesn't require, you know, having to buy a domain, you're not having to build the website.
Yeah.
I know some people who didn't have a website. They used their Facebook page or mm-hmm. their Instagram profile as the website until they got the website.
Yeah, it's doable.
There you go.
All right.
So foundation is set. These are the things must have. It's like food, water, clothing, shelter. You have to get that stuff done first before you can move on to the next level, which you're going to talk about Maslow's, the safety. This is still considered the basic needs part of the triangle, that the bottom two levels are the basic needs. So the second level of the basic needs is safety. It's where you're feeling secure and protected, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So
in Maslow's, it's your personal security. It's your job, you know, to make sure that you can provide for your family, you know, and those types of things. And I do want to be clear, there is no order in which you have to do one of these things before you do another. This is an order of importance, not an order in which you need to do them. This is something for you to look at and say, okay, my business is here and this is where my marketing is. I'm missing these pieces and I need to get that in place.
Right.
Because one of the things that we're going to be talking about shortly is networking, for example. Well, you can do that from day one.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not an order of do this first, then this, then this, then this. It is a hierarchy of importance.
However, with that said, with Maslow's theory in mind, you also can try to tackle the belongingness and the love and all of that. But he says you can't really, truly do that well if you don't have a home, if you're not eating. And so while we're talking about the walker hierarchy, you can do some of these things, but still yet you have to really think about the whole picture. And like we were talking earlier, if you're going to run ads and people are going to pick up the phone and call, but you don't have that other piece of it working and doing well. So think about the order that you would put these in and what's making sense in your shop.
Time to thank our friends at RepairPal for making this episode possible. Don't get left behind. Today's tech-savvy consumers value instant gratification, so they start their searches for a repair shop on their computers and smartphones. These power users research auto repair and service options and decide which shops to engage with in an instant. Gain these customers by being RepairPal certified. They provide proof that your prices are fair with their best-in-class estimator. They're the largest site for auto repair, and they will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com and through the recommendation of partners like USAA, CarMax, and Consumer Reports. As shop owners, we were in the RepairPal certified network, and it helped grow our business. You have to be in it to win it, so head on over to RepairPal.com/shops and set up a call to learn more. When you sign up, you'll get 1 month of service free and save $150 off certification. That's RepairPal.com/shops. All right, so in that second layer, it's about the safety and security. And the way that I would relate that to your marketing needs would be your reputation, because your reputation is the thing that is going to bring security to your business. Like, if you have a great reputation, then your business is probably going to be just fine. You know, and that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to thrive on that alone, but if you have a poor reputation, there's just about nothing that you can do to make that business thrive. So with the reputation, we're going to talk about reviews, we're going to talk about content marketing, and we're going to talk about search engine optimization.
And Google Ads.
Yeah. So with reviews, you know, good reviews are, they're the social proof that you do a great job and that people can trust you to take care, good care of them. You know, on the first layer of the triangle, you've already created your Google business profile. You've already created your social media pages. So you've created the places where people are going to leave you reviews. And now you need to go get them to actually leave those reviews. And you can do that manually, you know, by asking people when they're at the front counter. You could ask them on the follow-up call. I don't know how many shops still do that. You know, the phone call a few days after the repair. I know there's shops that do it. But I mean,
that was also 20 plus years ago. But you think about the shop we were just at a couple of days ago. They were still, y'all, we signed in. And I was very impressed with the shop, by the way. Mm-hmm. I really liked the shop.
It was a great shop.
Great shop. But they're still doing things in a very antiquated way. Yeah. Have you been asked to leave them a review?
No.
No.
But I did just get asked to leave a review by my surgeon who did my knee replacement.
Oh.
And I did go leave him a review, and that was done through his CRM.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the other way. So, you, of course, you can ask people manually, but your CRM is really the thing that's going to shine when it comes time
to get
reviews.
Yeah, it's baked in. It's easy. Yeah.
So, you know, the reviews are like the first part of establishing that reputation. And then content marketing. I'm going to say something here. Any business in the modern world should be a media company first, and then whatever they do to make money second. I'm going to say that again. Any business in the modern world needs to be a media company first, and then whatever they do second.
All right.
That is my belief. It means that they are creating content, and that content could be written. It could be, you know, it could be video. They are sharing their thought leadership.
Okay.
And I say that because I see the businesses who do this well, and I've never seen one of them have a lack of work. Never.
That's true.
And like, this is, I'm always on a soapbox about video.
Right.
But it's all of it. You know, what we're doing right now, this podcast, the article that I wrote, the video that I created on it a couple of weeks ago, this is all content marketing. This is all stuff that you... If you're listening to this, you may not, this might be your first time ever listening to this podcast, but by the end of this, you're going to have a better understanding of how we think as marketers.
Yeah. So we're always talking about helping people get to know, like, and trust you. So when you're doing content marketing, you're doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't not do that. You think about the businesses that you were just saying, you know, when I think about businesses that are doing content marketing and they're never slow, well, it's because their customers know them. Like them, they trust them because they're creating that thought leadership, they're putting themselves out there. So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody when we were at STX a couple of weeks ago, and they told me that one of the pieces of content that they created had somebody, they created one about a specific repair that they did, and somebody brought their car from 200 miles away.
Oh my God.
To have them do the repair because they saw that they fixed the exact problem they had, and they trusted that person now based off of that.
Okay, well, let's just break that down for a minute. With you and health, AFib.
Oh, yeah.
There's a doctor that you are willing to fly
to Japan.
To Japan to open you up.
And it's laparoscopic, but still,
is
yes.
It is. Either way, it's a medical procedure in another country because he's world renowned for being very successful at it.
Yeah.
And bringing it even closer to home, but still, people don't want to drive to the next town. We're in Hammond. People are like, I have to go to Covington for this doctor's appointment.
Right.
They don't want to do it. There's another doctor you're looking at in Houston. It's a 4-hour drive. I went to a doctor in Atlanta for a procedure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's doctors.
Yeah. But it's because we trust them. And we trust them because of the content that they create.
Yes.
I mean, I would have never found Dr. Wolf, who was the inventor of this procedure, had it not been for the content that he created.
Right.
And through him, I found the doctor in Japan. And, you know, so you need to create content. I'm going to say it probably in every darn episode that we record in some way or some fashion, we're going to be talking about something. And in one way or another, I'm going to be telling you, you need to create content.
So explain how SEO fits into this level where Maslow is talking about safety, personal security. How does SEO relate to that?
Well, people need to be able to find you in order for your business to thrive. Like you can be the best mechanic in 5 states, but if nobody knows about you, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
So SEO and Google Ads, you know, we've got both of these here together because people have got to be able to find you. And even though you have that rare situation, like that person that I talked about that was, they brought their car 200 miles to get the repair done, that doesn't happen often, but in your local area, when you own the internet about the topic of auto repair,
right?
Like you're going to be the shop that everybody goes to. But the interesting thing about SEO is we've already talked about doing your Google business profile. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about building your website. We've already talked about creating content. We've already talked about your social media pages because that does play in there as well. Mm-hmm. And like, this is 80% of SEO already. So if you just
you just got to finish it.
If you just do those things, and yes, that other 20% does matter. But that 80% can drive a lot of business to your shop. It can get you found by a lot of people. So like there's no reason to not be doing this. And then same thing with Google Ads. And I already, you know, hit on this, but you have like people have got to be able to find you. You know, Google Ads are a way that you can make sure that your business is the one who shows up at the top of the search results when people are searching for auto repair related terms.
Right. Now, listen, I want to pause here after these 2 levels. We've only been through 2. We still have 3 more to go through. And keep in mind, it's a pyramid. So it's getting smaller and smaller as you reach the top. But I don't want, there are going to be people listening to this as we're talking about the 5 levels. And
look, Kim's getting mad at me, y'all. I'm outing her in the middle of this podcast because I'm telling her to get closer to the microphone. Because one minute she's like this and the next she's like this. And it sounds a little bit different here than it does right here, doesn't it?
I'm not sitting that far back like what you just did. We about to have a straight, what do they call it? Domestics up in here.
It's domestics.
He gave me the rule of, look, I'm having to back up to make this finger to thumb to the microphone thing work.
Get up on that mic.
And I got back issues. It's a terrible chair. I need a better chair. You made me forget what I was going to say. No, I remember. So there are going to be people listening to this who are doing this and they're doing this that might not have even realized how big the continuum is of all the different things you can be doing in marketing. So don't listen to this and now think, oh my God, I got to go do all of this. A top tier shop is doing all this, but they're not trying to start doing all of this at one time. You got to do one thing, do it really well, have a process, a system, feel comfortable, and then add something else. So don't get overwhelmed and check out because you're like, oh my God, this is a lot of stuff.
But at the same time, because the next thing that we're about to talk about, nobody's going to want to do it. We're going to tell them about it. And look, all the people who do it will tell you it's their favorite. And the ones who don't do it will tell you, I don't have time for that.
Well, you would say it's not your favorite and you don't have time for it, but it's an excuse because you just don't like it.
But I did it. Did I not?
You did. But what I'm saying is that's what people, they're going to say, oh, I'm not really good at that. I wasn't good at it either. The first time I did it, I cried.
Okay, so we're now in the third level of the pyramid, which in Maslow's pyramid, that's love and belonging.
Some alpha male, rough and gruff guy listening just went, oh my God, and rolled his eyes. I'm not listening to this, what would you say, soft, cushy.
We'll call it woo-woo.
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 But, you know, that is the friendship, intimacy, family, a sense of belonging. Like, I need that myself, you know? It's like, everyone needs it. And the alpha male that you're talking about that may not believe that they do, they absolutely believe it. And there's an epidemic, and I'm getting on a rabbit trail here.
Be careful, because I know where you're going, and I'm going to end up on it, too.
There's this epidemic of men with no friends. And that is a major, major mistake. If you are that guy who has no friends, you need to make it a point to put yourself in situations where you can become friends with people. And I'm not talking about the technicians out in your shop. Look, if you happen to be friends with a couple of them, then great. That's great. But I'm talking about like real friendships where you do life together, where you know, can share open and honest and all of that. I've only got a handful of people in this world that I truly consider friends. You know, I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a lot of people that I'm friendly with, but I'm talking about the ones that like, they know me. And if something is going on with me, they will ask me about it. They will call me out on it. You know,
I'm going to call you out on that. Needs to be an episode.
Okay.
You need to do an episode on that.
So, you know,
well, I think you're getting glassy eyed right now just talking about
it. I do. I get, because I'm passionate about this. I know how important.
People need to hear it.
I know how important it is. You know, so anyway.
Well, let me say this. I just finished. Y'all, it's Friday and Brian is working my brain on a Friday like this and it's inappropriate. But I just spent the last several hours recording. I basically pulled two classes that I've taught in the past into one class and then broke it into like five different segments. And it was all about creating loyalty in your customers and your team. And a big part of that hinged on this whole thing of belongingness and feeling like you are connected. We were not created to do life alone. Like we weren't created. We weren't built. We're not built to do this stuff alone. Even in business. And so, are you fussing at me about my mouth again?
Yeah.
So this piece that Brian's laid out as the networking part, oh, I might be getting ahead. Are you ready to talk about the Walker part?
Well, you know, with Maslow, it's about friendship, intimacy, family, sense of belonging.
Yeah.
On the Walker part, it's about networking.
Yeah. And with that, I'm assuming you wanted me to talk about this.
Or... Well, I mean, it makes sense for you to talk about it because you... Like you are the queen of connections.
Which still kind of drives me nuts. But anyways, so when you're looking at the base of the pyramid, when I'm out networking as a shop owner, when we had the shop and I was out networking at the chamber, Brian was in a B&I group. I was in a B&I group. I was in Chicks in Business and Women Business Owners Network and all of these different things, not including the events and all that other stuff. But when I'm meeting with someone, if they want more information, how am I pointing them to something? Well, what am I saying? Go follow our social media. Here's our website. You know, I'm pointing back to those things. So that's why this is perfect kind of in the middle.
When you're giving them your digital business card that has links to your website and your social media channels and like every way to possibly see us online.
Yeah. So it's in the middle of the pyramid, which is the heart of it, because once you've established and you've created all the foundational pieces, this is the heart of it that's going to help you get to the peak of the pyramid. You can't really get to the top and truly reach full potential in all that stuff that's up there if these pieces aren't in place. So the networking, it goes back to the human connection. So when you're out and about and you're meeting people and you're talking to people and you're having coffee and, you know, you're talking about your business and you're learning about other people, that you're just building and nurturing relationships. That's all it is. And so I would actually argue, Brian called this level networking, but I would call it relationships. It's the human connection. And it's not only in your marketing, but in the loyalty that you're building within your team in the shop, in the back end.
And it is that, but I was using the business marketing term for that.
Okay.
You know, because that's what you called it for years when you would do it, go networking.
Yeah.
And where are the two places primarily that you did most of your networking?
Oh, definitely Chambers of Commerce and BNI.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about those two.
Yeah. So I always say that chambers are like a gym membership. You cannot pay a membership to the gym and not go and expect to see a return on your investment. You have to be involved in it. So every chamber is a little different. But for us, we did this in Raleigh, North Carolina, Apex, Cary, North Carolina, even down here in Louisiana. But every chamber is a little different. What they do have in common, the purpose of the chamber is to build a community of local businesses that are supporting one another, but they're also, the chamber is highlighting the businesses in the community. And so whether it was being involved in a committee, like chambers are like Baptist churches, like they have a committee for everything. It's true. They do. There's like a political committee. There's an education committee. There's a membership committee. There's an events committee. All these things. And so getting involved on that level, whether you're attending events or helping to host or sponsor the events, that's what the chambers are.
And so Kim grew up in the Baptist church, so she can say that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to offend anybody.
I know. I'm just explaining. And then I want to go back to something else that you said. You gave this analogy of it being like a gym membership. And the reason that Kim says that is because we have heard countless times, okay? And this isn't like the people say all the time, and you're like, no, they don't.
No, they do this say
is,
this.
This is like, we have really, honest to God, heard this many, many times where somebody's like, yeah, I joined the chamber and it didn't do anything for my business.
Yeah, and that's y'all because they paid a membership and that's all they did.
Yeah, never showed up, never went to any events, never got involved in any way. And there, look, save your money. Don't even, the Definitely. Chambers wouldn't want me to tell you this because they probably make, well, they're like gyms. They make more money off of people that don't show up than the ones who do show up. But I'm telling you, as your marketer, if you're not going to go, don't join.
I think people know how we feel
join
about that.
And go.
Because I used to hear it all the time. I don't hear it as much anymore because I think they know. Because if somebody were to say that to me, I have like a script now.
Well, she's also got a face that she can't control. She just did it. And I have it on video, y'all.
I did not do anything. But my reaction is, oh, well, did you go to the business before hours or the business after hours? Did you go to the luncheon? Which committee are you on? And they're like, no, no, no. Did you fill out your chamber profile on the website? No. Okay. It's really not the chamber's job to refer to you. And let me say this. Let's say there's 5 automotive repair shops in your community in the chamber. Somebody new moves into the area and they go to the chamber and they're like, hey, I have a Honda and I really got to get some. I need to find a new shop. Do you have someone to recommend? Here's what they're going to do. Immediately say, oh, Enright Automotive, they're great with Honda. Why'd they say their name so quick like that? Because they know Enright, because Enright is involved. That's what's going to happen. Otherwise, they're going to have to, well, let's check our directory. And they're going to look at their directory and they're going to see who has a complete profile. Which one of them actually is on a committee? Which one of them sponsors? Which one of them hosts an event? Which one of them comes to the events? There's always going to be a shop in that mix who's just paying the membership and not doing anything else.
But if the chamber doesn't, like the staff at the chamber, if they don't think of you first, that's your fault, not theirs.
That's correct. Yeah. It's your job.
All right. BNI.
BNI. Oh, gosh. I love BNI. I wish I was still in BNI, but it doesn't make sense for us anymore because our clients are all over the country. So BNI is Business Networking International. This is it's like a teeny tiny membership group. I always considered, so you meet with them once a week, and that sounds like a lot. It does cost money depending on your ARO. I bet one or two referrals a year is going to pay for your membership for BNI. So you are paying to be a member. There can also only be one automotive repair shop in the group, so it's very exclusive. And I always viewed this meeting, so there's a cost of time because you're meeting every week for an hour and a half, but it helped me.
You know how many people you just lost?
Well, that's, I can't help it.
And it's sad. If she just lost you, get back because it's worth it.
Well, this is going to help you with my next line. Because I was that person, I was like, oh, I don't feel like going to BNI today. I have so many other things I need to do. That was my weekly sales meeting where I was training my sales team in who a good referral for me was that week, what type of customers we were looking for. And when I had that shift, it changed everything for me because I was meeting with the same people every single week who already knew me. But now I'm giving them the language to go out into the world to refer to us. You're looking for your BNI group to come use your services, but what you really want is for them to be out in the world talking about you and sending referrals your way. These are not cold leads. These are warm, these are hot referrals where they're coming to you during that meeting and saying, hey, I was just talking to my neighbor. I was just talking to my coworker. I was just talking to my friend at the baseball field and they need their car worked on. I told them all about you. They're waiting on you to call them. It's that kind of thing. So to kind of tie all this together, when they're telling people about you, well, that neighbor, friend, coworker, what are they going to do? They're going to look at your social media. They're going to look at your Google business profile and read your reviews. They're going to check out your website. It's another reason why you got to have that other stuff in place before you get out networking.
Yeah. So if you want to have a good shop, you can stop right here. I mean, you could stop at level 3, but I hope that's not what you're looking for. I hope you're not just looking for a good shop because level 4 and level 5 are where you go from good to great, if I could use the book title.
I don't think they own the words. I think you can say. But it's also where top-tier shops are made. We always talk about, we do top-tier marketing for top-tier shops. I mean, technically, you could have stopped at level 2, really.
Yeah.
But level 4 and 5, so level 4, that is moving on up to the self-fulfillment, self-actualization part of Maslow's hierarchy
of
needs. Well,
self-actualization is level 5.
Well, you can break it down into 3 sections, the whole thing.
Okay. I don't know what she's talking about, y'all. But anyway.
Okay.
Level 4 is about esteem. It's about being respected. It's about having self-esteem. It's about status, recognition, and strength. And, you know, successful people who live a successful life. And I'm not talking about, like, when I say successful, I'm not talking about money or that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about you live a successful life. Most of them, they have this. And it's not that they need to, you know, that they have this uncontrollable need to have people respect them. I mean, you look at Mother Teresa. She could not possibly care less about status, but she, you know, arguably lived one of the most successful lives that a person could live.
Yeah, you're comfortable in your skin, your own self.
But, you know, still, it's about respect. Confidence. It's about self-esteem, status, recognition, strength. And when I talk about this, well, let me just get into it. You know, so that fourth level, it really is about the way that you feel about yourself in relation to the way that other people see you. It's about being recognized for your uniqueness. And I'm talking about Maslow's hierarchy right now. So it's another one of those where there's a pretty direct parallel actually between Maslow's pyramid, you know, the marketing pyramid, and I call it the marketing pyramid because I hate calling it Walker's pyramid.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like such a tool with that.
Did you just say, I feel like such a tool?
I do. I cannot like wait putting my name on a synonymous piece of work.
John, like that is an absolute outtake, real funny part that I need to send to our son.
But
just saying.
Anyway, when it comes to marketing, we talk all the time about how every shop is unique. And you probably, you know, most of y'all that are listening don't even think that you're that unique.
Oh, you are.
But you are. There's something about your shop that makes people come to you instead of going to your competition. And that's the uniqueness. And if you want to know what makes you unique, start in your reviews. Go listen to your review or go read through your reviews and see what people are saying about you.
Look for the common threads, the common denominators.
But when you know what makes your shop unique and who's attracted to the things that you do that make you unique, your marketing just got a whole lot easier. Like seriously, it just got a whole lot easier. When it comes to this fourth level of the triangle, we're going to refer to that as brand building. And I know I already hit on brand building in layer two of the triangle, but we're coming at it from a different angle this time. You know, that was about building a brand that people can trust, whereas this is about building a brand that people want to be and are proud to be associated with. Like your shop being their shop of choice, it actually elevates their status. And if you think about it, people love being able to say, oh, this is my mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, but they use the word mechanic. They don't say this is my automotive technician.
Right.
But I digress. They're like, this is my mechanic. You need to go to my mechanic. Call my mechanic. And it makes people feel good to do that. But they can only do that if they know that when that person takes their car to you,
you're going to take care of them.
You are going to take care of them.
Which goes back to the former level three, right? A place to belong, feeling cared for and taken care of.
Yeah.
And along with that, what Brian was just saying about my mechanic, if you're a man listening, ask your wife about her hairstylist.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You don't cheat on your hairstyle. Like that's she's my hair therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, hairstylist. Like you sit in that chair, you've got 45 minutes of just talking to someone. It legit become. I'm friends, really good friend. Like she knows stuff. Megan Maroney sings a song about the hair salon. Like, but translate that to, you know, your doctor, your gym, your chiropractor, you know, people really do connect on a level like that. And they, cause somebody, I feel like I just heard somebody laugh at that. This is my mechanic, but it is true. They mm-hmm. really do connect on that kind of level where they're like proud.
Yeah. If you want people to feel that way, like your shop has to be the best. It is known as the best. It attracts a very specific type of clientele. Here's another one of those things I'm going to say that people are going to be like, yeah, right. But I'm going to say it anyway. Your shop is so highly respected because of the strength of your brand that people no longer question price.
Oh, no, that's definitely.
And if that sounds far-fetched to you, it's only because you haven't built that strong of a brand yet. We have multiple clients who are easily the highest price shops in town, like lots of them, because we work with that top tier client. And the people who are concerned about price, they know not to go to their shop. Like they know there are businesses like that, that, you know, that is not a business for me to go to because, you know, they're too expensive or whatever. You're not their client. But when you build that brand that is so mm-hmm. strong, then like people know the people who want to be associated with your brand, they don't care about the price. The price is not an issue to them. They know that when they come to you, they don't have to question whether or not their car is fixed right. They know that when they come to you, they don't have to wonder, you know, when if my daughter is bringing her car in, is she going to be treated with respect? Right. Is she going to have a clean place to wait?
I always like to relate it to other businesses because I just believe there are shop owners who I have that number threshold where I'm like, oh my God, that's so expensive. But when you think about businesses, you're the shop owner, the businesses in your community that you use that are expensive and you don't think anything about it. Like we went to a CrossFit gym forever. Sometimes our CrossFit membership was double what it would be at enough. You know, there's the Anytime Fitnesses and the Planet Fitnesses that are like anywhere from $11 to $20 a month. And we're paying
$150 bucks a month.
Yeah. You know, or back to the hairstylist, you know, there you can go to Fantastic Sam's and pay $25, or you can go to that
hair therapist
and you're paying a lot more.
She looked at me before she said it and she was like, I better not say the number. She just said a lot more.
Do we need to talk about the vehicles and the.
Look, we just had that conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't question her because I'm picking because it was almost like you stopped.
A
lot more.
A lot, but still finishing that. Restaurants. Are you going to that nice steakhouse or are you going to Outback? Look, I know people love Outback. I'm not hating on Outback. I'm just saying. But it's the same thing. If they can charge the prices for that top of the line service or product, you can too.
Yeah.
But it does come back to the more expensive ones, they have that reputation for sure. All right. Well, we have really.
So, yeah, we still got more to cover.
Yeah.
So the next part in this brand building section would be advanced digital marketing strategies. And I'm not going to get too far into the weeds on this, but the advanced digital marketing strategies are where, like, you know exactly who your client is and you are able to pinpoint them with targeting. But you can only do that at the point that you know exactly who that client is. Because, look, targeting the right client with the wrong message, it won't work. Targeting the right client with the right message when your brand doesn't match the posture that you're setting, that doesn't work. It's hard to fake who you are. Like, people have good BS meters now. So you have to really get the brand dialed in. But when you have that brand dialed in, there's some really advanced targeting and marketing that you can do.
Now, I think we may have just thrown somebody off there with the word brand. So let's just real quick. Your brand is way more than your logo. I think we have a podcast on that.
We do.
That this is your brand personality. It's the logo. It's the colors. It's the culture. It's the message and how you're saying it. It's everything.
So the way I love to describe it, the logo is Harley Davidson's brand is like a loud, vibrating motorcycle and, you know, wearing the leather and all of that. Like, that's part of the brand. It's the lifestyle. It's the way that you feel because of them. All right. So the next one is another one that you love talking about, Kim. It's a big one on your list.
Talked about it a little bit. And we talked about the membership stuff, community involvement with chambers and BNI. But this is taking it to a higher level. It is sitting on the board. It is sponsoring the big events in town and the little league. And it's the showing up. And it's the taking those relationships and spending your time planning, helping with the fundraising of that event. It's just a deeper level. There's Rotaries, there's Kiwanis clubs, there's all kinds of opportunities in your community. And get this, maybe you're creating the opportunity. You might be creating the event or creating the see a need for an organization that doesn't exist. It's truly seeing a problem and solving it within your community and being a part of the solution.
I'm going to read the paragraph verbatim out of the article because it's strong in what it says. It says, you can get involved in your community at any level of the triangle, and you should, but this is the level where it has the biggest impact because of the brand you have built. This is the level where people look at your community involvement and know you're doing it for the sole purpose of giving back to the community. Okay, and I'm going to stop reading and come back to that in a second. We're talking about marketing right now, and we understand that community involvement, a lot of community involvement is done because you want to get exposure for your brand. But when you start getting into these higher levels of the triangle, you're not doing this stuff for marketing anymore. You are doing it because you love your community. You are doing it, like Kim said, because of heart. Like, it is something that you feel strongly about and you want to do it. I'm going to go back to reading now. It's also the place where you can look at your community involvement and be proud of what you're doing because you can do it at a level that makes a difference you're happy to associate with your brand. This sounds hoity-toity as I write it, but it is what it is. You're now doing community involvement at a level that you can stand back, smile, and be proud of the impact you're having on your community and the way people look at your business because of it. Geez, I can't believe I just wrote that, but it's true.
So this is because, y'all, when we had a shop, I was trying to get this man to sponsor the Little League or to do this or do that. And he was like, there's no ROI on that, blah, 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 blah. Well, he got over that. He figured it out. And that's not where we are now. But this is you get a call to come read a Christmas book at Christmas time to the kindergarten class. And you stop and think about the why and the purpose. You're not reading to some kindergartners because they're bringing their car in. That's not what's happening. There's multiple layers of what's happening when you go do that. And so it's when you recognize the connection to the community and what you're doing for that teacher, for that school, for those parents who are going to find out about it.
And even your larger community, which might be the entire world. You know, this is the point where you're saying, you know what, we had a great year last year. We're going to pay to have a well put in Africa. You know, I mean, like that's the kind of stuff that you can do. And I want you to pay attention to the way things changed from level 3 to level 4, because at level 1, 2, and 3, we're just talking about getting by. We're talking about doing the things that you need to do to make your business successful. But now we're talking about things on a completely different level. We're talking about your brand is so strong that people don't care about the price. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, the community involvement is something that you can really look at and just feel great about what you've been able to do.
Well, I think it's the higher you get on this pyramid, the closer you get to the top, the greater your impact on your community and the world is.
We're about to blow them away with level 5. Yeah.
So the last piece to this, which I just threw in only because I just recorded a class on shop culture, but I feel like level 4 is where real, deep, true, really good, positive shop culture is. You're starting it, but this is where it's really taking off, is in this level, because you've already got the connection piece. You're already out in the community. And now you have a shop where people want to be, whether it's from being a client or a team member. So the culture of your shop, it feels right in that level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, level 5, well, the highest level of the pyramid. In Maslow's pyramid, this is self-actualization. Self-actualization is the desire to become the most that you can possibly become. You can't become a better human being at that point.
Yep. It's reaching your full potential.
Yeah.
It's where Maslow said you can really be your creative self there. Like you can really pull from the right side of your brain and the left side of your brain. You're truly being your whole everything. So, and what I was saying earlier, you can break the full triangle. There's 5 levels, but the top 2 levels is the self-fulfillment needs. The middle section is the psychological needs area. And then you have the basic needs.
Gotcha.
So that's what I was saying about that. But this top level is literally the top level in life. Mm-hmm. Like you are hitting on all cylinders for some automotive speak. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really like, you're feeling like all the areas of your life are fulfilled. They're doing well. You're happy. There's joy.
Yeah, I would compare that as someone who I think is probably there right now, and it'll be the second time I've brought him up in this podcast, but Ed Milet. You know, for one, Kim and I both listen to his podcast, and he's someone who we love learning from him. But I think that he is probably very high, you know, at the level of self-actualization, because he's at the point where he has had so much success in life, and now he is pouring into other people.
And I want to say this
to become successful
too, is that Ed Milet is like filthy, stinking rich. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like money is not an issue for him. I do think you can reach this level of self-actualization, fulfillment, potential without being Ed Milet rich.
Oh, absolutely.
So
Mother Teresa again.
Right. Exactly. So even in, I mean, there are people in our industry who are very wealthy, but you know, thinking like, I like how you described it, how they feel like they've made it in life to where they are paying their bills. They're not having to worry about that. That's in the lower level. Those are basic needs. You know, we talked about the impact. The higher you get on the pyramid, the greater your impact. But they're taking care of themselves, but also other people, and they're still got it together. Mm-hmm. So they're changing the world.
So in Maslow's hierarchy, it's self-actualization. And in the marketing hierarchy, we're just calling it world changer, because that is what you're doing at that point. So it's comprised of thought leadership and strategic partnerships. And with thought leadership, your shop is like, you have fully embraced the idea of thought leadership at this point, at the point that you're at this level 5 in the triangle. And not only are you sharing thought leadership that educates your clients on vehicle maintenance and repair, but you're also educating your clients on things that impact them from a larger standpoint, you know, like right to repair and fallout from legislative matters and local governance issues and more. Your shop is probably hosting technical trainings at that point, but not just for your team, like other shops in the area can come to like this.
Come share.
And right. They're hosting these events and the people who are, they're your competition.
Oh my God.
The competition. You're inviting them because you think bigger at this point. Like you're not stuck in your own little world.
Yeah. It's the word impact for me. It's the impact. It's how you are contributing to your community, the industry that you're in. There are shops who, the ones who are going to these industry events, it's the cream of the crop. It's the top 1%. The others are not doing that. So,
but this is about hosting it yourself.
Yeah.
Like doing these things in your shop and inviting other shop owners and their team to come in and learn also. And this matters from a marketing standpoint, because when it's being promoted that these things are happening, your mm-hmm. clients, they look at that and they're like, they are impacting their entire industry.
Right.
Like their shop is a world changer. Mm-hmm. Like they're changing their own little world. You know, what you're doing when you're hosting an event at your shop, it may not be like changing the world, but it's changing your world. Mm-hmm. Like it's making an impact. And then there's the idea of strategic partnerships, where the shop is, they're so immersed in the community and the industry that others are seeking out strategic partnerships with you. And it could be corporate giants like Gates and Bosch, you know, for example. They might want to hold an event at your shop because like they need to get to people at the consumer level.
Right.
You know, people at the consumer level don't necessarily identify with people on the corporate level, but when they can come to them through your shop, then they're able to do that. Your local politicians might hold press conferences in your shop about things that, you know, are related to automotive on local government issues. Local news companies will use your shop and your team as experts on stories that have to do with auto repair. You host fundraisers to help local organizations and people who are in need in your shop. It's known for responding to the needs of your local community. And at this point, that is self-actualization in a way for your shop.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you can see that at the top of the triangle, a seemingly simple local business can become an integral part of their community and it's respected as such. And if you stop and think about it, you probably know some businesses in your local community that are like that. I know in our local community, the first one that I think of would be North Cypress Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime there's something going on around here, you know, we had hurricanes and people, our water system was taken down and people had nowhere to shower. And they're like, hey, we got water. Mm-hmm. Y'all come shower at the gym. They opened up their pool house for people to come get internet access and be able to sit there and work and do things. You know, they have the bicycle drive, you know, every Christmas. That is who they are in this situation.
Yeah. He has constantly got a keen eye, open ears, open eyes. He is constantly paying attention to needs in the community on such a level that he sees stuff. Like I usually see stuff, but he sees stuff that I'm like, I never even, it's just a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's constantly got his wheels turning on doing something cool, creative, but highly impactful.
So, you know, kind of wrapping this up now, why does this matter? Well, again, when I first set out to write this, I thought it was a neat parallel. But what I found was like, this is a litmus test for, is your marketing where it needs to be for where your business is at the time or where you want it to be? You know, I'm no Abraham Maslow, and I doubt that any researchers are going to be citing, you know, Walker's hierarchy of marketing needs. You know,
I don't know. I mean, when the blog came out, quite a few people commented and emailed about, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. There are fundamental truths mm-hmm. to what's being said here. So, you know, you can do any of the marketing I've listed out here at any level of the triangle at whatever level of proficiency you're at, but you can't be at just any layer of the triangle without doing the marketing that's within. Like you can't be at level four without doing the things that level four would call for. You know, sorry, I said what I said. You'll never be the brand at the brand building level if you don't have a plan for your reputation management. You'll never be the most well-known shop in your community without networking. And that networking might not be at the Chamber of Commerce or BNI meeting, but it might be at the local barbershop or the local coffee shop. But somehow, you know, you're networking. You have to be doing that stuff to be at that level. You know, the point of this it wasn't for me to be some kind of a modern day philosopher. I'm not trying to be, you know, Huberman or what's the other guy? Peterman. What's his name? Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. You know, these guys are modern day philosophers. I'm a guy who I took a challenge from Matt Fanslow, basically. I don't know if he meant it to be a challenge, but it was a challenge.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, this really does line up well.
Well, listen, y'all, here's the thing. We went over all of this. And if you're an auditory learner, great. But if you're visual, like, or even if you're not visual, sometimes you need to listen and read. Like, go look at the blog, because not only is there a visual literally of the triangle, of the pyramid, the blog is there. So you can really dig in, really read, get between all of the stuff that we've talked about and see it in print, so to speak, on our blog. So definitely go to the blog and read the blog.
Yeah, just go to shoutmarketingpros.com/blog. It's the highlighted article right now.
Currently.
If, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, there is a search feature. If you just search for the word hierarchy, it'll come up. But we really appreciate you listening. I think this might be our longest episode we've ever recorded.
Oh my God, how long is
we're
it?
We're at like 1 hour and 15 minutes right now.
Bless it.
But I really appreciate you sticking with us if you've listened for this long. And we appreciate you listening every week. Remember, we're just one podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. There's a new podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. I'm going to give a shout out to Craig O'Neill.
Is it out there?
It is. It is out there.
See that?
Yep. And his podcast is all about communication, and you should go listen to that. But anyway, you can find all of the podcasts at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.